It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, it is January 21st, 2022, and that means that it must be 1900 UTC. It is time, my friends, for News to Me, news show. It's time to get some news. Then after that, we'll have the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope, and then we'll have Harry Larry. Just like on Mondays, these three shows kind of run into each other, and it's a good time. I enjoy it very much. Shout out to Publius. Sorry that the VoIP stuff wasn't working. That's always a bummer. I'm having to pre-record today because I managed this week my team meeting that's normally at 1900 UTC got canceled. But also, an opening for a booster shot opened up. So I'm going to go get my COVID-19 booster shot. I was sick with COVID over the Christmas holiday. So I hope you'll excuse me. Sorry I'm having to pre-record. All right. Well, there's a lot of news, a lot of stuff happening. I've got all sorts of energy about different things. Let's go ahead and just get started. There's a lot of death, a lot of news. And, you know, like I said, we got to brace yourself. There's a lot of dead kids today. All right. Well, let's get started the way we pretty much always start. And that's
world news.
That's right. We'll start off in Ghana. This is amazing. I would say anybody who's curious, hit up africanews.com. It's one of the lead stories. At least 17 dead in Ghana explosion. An explosion caused by a truck carrying explosives for a mine killed at least 17 people and injured 59 others Thursday and devastated a town in western Ghana. Sorry about that. I had a loud sneeze. The explosion occurred around noon on Thursday in Apia, not far from Bogoso, a mining town in the western region, about 300 kilometers west of Accra, the capital of the mineral-rich West African country. Videos, authenticated by AFP, show a large crater, blown houses and debris strewn around across the ground for hundreds of meters. Several lifeless bodies, some dismembered, are visible and testify to the violence of the explosion. According to the first elements of the investigation, it was an accident involving a truck transporting explosive materials, a motorcycle, and a third vehicle that took place near an electrical transformer and led to the explosion, said Information Minister Kojo Opong Nkrama in a statement issued Thursday night. The video, it's this giant crater in the middle of, there's a road, and then there's a giant crater and just sticks everywhere. I'm guessing the video, by the time this video is here, they'd hauled away the bodies because it's not super gory. But anyway, it's mind-blowing. So anyway, 59 were injured, 42 have been treated in health centers in critical condition, said the minister. All hospitals in the area have been mobilized and a plan's been activated to evacuate people in a critical condition to Accra. It's a Black Thursday so far. 500 houses have been affected. Some have been completely leveled by the blast, while others have developed cracks. Sedzi Sadzi Ahmedonu, deputy coordinator for the National Disaster Management Organization, told AFP in the evening. It's almost like a ghost town now. Some houses have been burned, others have been covered by debris, and search and rescue operations are still ongoing. So, this is insanity here. Survivors of the explosion, interviewed by the local press, told of scenes of desolation. Abina Minta, who explained that he ran to the scene of the accident to see if he could help rescue any victims. The driver of the truck carrying the explosives ran towards us and told us to stand down, and a few minutes later we heard a loud bang. I became dizzy and fell into the bush. I managed to get up and saw several dismembered bodies in the street, said the witness, who suffered minor injuries to his feet and hands. In order to avoid a second explosion, the authorities have deployed a joint team of police and military experts. They'll examine the situation and put in place security measures. So, it's just terrible. Something I think is neat, though, is to learn that when there's an accident in Ghana, people rush to the accident to try and help the people that might be hurt. And in this case, that caught him. So 17 dead, 42 injured at least. 59 injured, 42 critically. So tough times. No word on the ages of those people. But don't worry. Let's fix that with some more sadness here. Whew. Deep breaths. Let's just remember.
Resistance is futile.
And the world's a cold, mean place. We can just try and make our little spot of it a little warmer, if we can. Infant among four bodies found near U.S.-Canada border. Police in Canada have found the bodies of four people, including an infant, in a snowy field near the U.S. border. The group died from exposure due to the frigid cold, which dropped to negative 35 C, with wind chill, officials say. The bodies of a man, a woman, a teenage boy, and an infant were found near Emerson, Manitoba on Wednesday. U.S. officials say the dead are believed to be family from India. They are thought to have been attempting to cross into the U.S. Manitoba Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the RCMP, Assistant Commissioner Jane McLatchy shared the discovery with reporters in a news conference on Thursday. What I'm about going to share is going to be difficult for many people to hear, she said, calling it an absolute and heartbreaking tragedy. Around 9:30 local time on Wednesday, Canadian police were alerted that a U.S. Customs and Border Patrol team had arrested a group that had crossed from the area, which is a known illicit border crossing site. A U.S. official told the Canadian team that one man was discovered with items for an infant, but that no child was found with him. A search was launched on both sides, and the group was discovered around 13:30, about 9 to 12 meters from the U.S. border. Crews using snowmobiles and all-terrain vehicles continued to search the deep snow until late Wednesday. Ms. McClatchy said that the group was on their own in the middle of a blizzard and faced not only the cold weather, but endless fields, large snowdrifts, and complete darkness. In a statement late on Thursday, U.S. federal officials in Minnesota announced human smuggling charges against 47-year-old Fort Lauderdale resident Steve Shand. He was found driving a 15-person van in a rural area along the border with cases of food and water. Two passengers with him were found to be undocumented migrants from India. So, this is a terrible thing. I hadn't heard of this. Apparently, there's a human smuggling route through Minnesota for Indian people, which is a surprise. This is just awful. As they were being transported, the U.S. agents encountered a group of five Indian citizens who said they'd been walking for 11 hours and had been expecting to be picked up by someone. One of them was carrying a backpack containing children's clothes, toys, and medication. He said he was carrying it for a family of four, but they had become separated in the night. Oh no, that's even more tragic. Based on a description of the bodies found in Canada, they've been tentatively identified as the family from India, the U.S. statement says. It adds that two other Indian migrants sustained serious injuries and were taken to hospital. The RCMP's Ms. McClatchy urged anyone who's thinking of crossing the border in Manitoba, either heading south or north, just don't do it. Don't listen to anyone who tells you you can get to your destination safely. They cannot. Even with proper clothing, it's not a journey that's possible. So-called irregular crossings from U.S. into Canada crossing outside official border points increased drastically around 2017. A phenomenon driven by multiple factors, including immigration policies put in place by Donald Trump. Canada banned such crossings at the beginning of the pandemic, with officials turning asylum seekers back to the U.S. Local officials in Emerson say it's rare to see people crossing from Canada southbound into the U.S. So, it's terrible. I lost all my fingers. Asylum seekers make dangerous border crossing. And there's a video kind of talking of these guys who try to cross, and they get trapped in the snow and then get frostbite, lose limbs or fingers or all sorts of stuff. So, just a real tragedy. All right. Well, that's one kind of tragedy. Let's go on to the next one. I'll pull it together. Teacher arrested over the murder of a 5-year-old girl in Nigeria. The police in Kano have arrested two suspects, Abdul Malik Mohammed and Hashim Isiaku, for allegedly abducting and killing a 5-year-old girl, Hanifa Abubakar. Owner of the girls' school, Abdul Malik Mohammed Tanko, allegedly kidnapped Hanifa in the northern Kano state in December to demand a ransom of $14,600. According to the police, 34-year-old Tanko later killed Hanifa after realizing she had recognized him. Abubakar was buried in a shallowed grave, and her remains were discovered at a private school premises in Kwanar Yan, Ghana. Tudun Murtala quarters. Oh, this is the full address. What's interesting and fun to me is in other places outside the U.S., addresses are often just describing the place more and more detail. Anyway, it's Quinar Yan Ghana, Tudun Murtala Quarters, Nasarawa, LGA, Kano, the police said in a statement on Thursday. Family sources say Tenko was among the first set of people who came to console the family after the abduction. He was full of tears when he visited the family to console them, said the uncle of the girl. This is just tragic. According to the police, he conspired with Hashim Isiaku and buried her in a grave located at the private school premises. He further added that Isiaku confessed that in November, the principal suspect and one Fatima Musa, age 27, met and ordered him to kidnap the girl. They arranged for the kidnapping, but later rescinded the action. Fatima was also arrested in connection with the offense. So, this has just generated a lot of concern among social media users in Nigeria, with many calling for justice. And speaking of it's terrible. Well, it gets heavy, but we got to finish the death stories, and then we'll play a song, and then we'll get on to the rest of the news. These next two stories come to us from the United States. Doesn't help much, because they're still about kids. A mother was found bludgeoned to death and her 4-year-old daughter beaten unconscious nearly 12 hours after she called 911 pleading for help. Mackenzie Hopkins, age 24, called authorities to report a disturbance at her Kansas City, Missouri home at 6:01 a.m. on Saturday, with the operator later telling detectives they heard people fighting. It was only when Miss Hopkins' father requested a welfare check at her home near East 73rd... I don't know why they're giving us the address... just before 6 p.m., that first responders discovered her body submerged in a bathtub and her young daughter in a bed with severe blunt force trauma to the head. The young girl, whose name has not been released, was taken to hospital, where family says she remains in critical condition. Police revealed they found large pools of blood in the living room of the house and drag marks where it appeared the victim's body had been moved. According to a police affidavit, when investigators went to interview one of Ms. Hopkins' friends at her home the day after the attacks, they noticed a pair of Ariat men's cowboy boots that matched bloody footprints found at the scene. The unnamed friend told investigators the boots belonged to her boyfriend, Jose Escalante Corchado, who was charged with several crimes, including first-degree murder on Tuesday. Escalante Corchado, 24, of Kansas City, Kansas, has denied all charges. A law enforcement source told The Independent the police had responded to Ms. Hopkins' earlier call, but could not offer any details on why it took 12 hours to locate her and her child. According to charging documents, detectives located surveillance video from a neighboring property of a man running away from the home and getting into a white truck 1 minute after she made the 911 call. The truck seen pulling into a Shell gas station later, and a Hispanic man with black hair and wearing dark-colored hooded sweatshirt, covered overalls and medical mask, enters the store. So... he did admit the guy that's accused, Escalante Corchado, was admitted he went to the gas station. He told them that he'd been at the bar until 3 a.m. on the morning of the murder and made a few turns in his truck before returning home. He denies any involvement. He's being held without bail on charges of first-degree murder, first-degree assault, 2 counts of armed criminal action, and first-degree endangering the welfare of a child. Prosecutors could seek the death penalty. So... no word if that's for sure this guy, but it is pretty tragic that she called for help, but help never came. All right, well, that's negligence there. One more death story, two more death stories, really, and then we'll play a song. This will be a little shorter, I hope. Anthony Jr., age 17, feared he had exposed his family to COVID at a school pep rally last August. A California woman said that her teenage son took his own life after he felt guilty for the death of his father, who died of COVID-19. Stephanie Reyes, 37, said that she and her whole family had contracted COVID in August last year. Her husband, Anthony, age 46, died in September due to complications. At the end of August, my family and I contracted COVID, and within a matter of days, I lost my husband, Ms. Reyes told Fox LA. Ms. Reyes said that her teenage son, Anthony Reyes Jr., age 17, had begged to visit his father before his death. The teenager held himself responsible for his father's death and illness, as he'd insisted earlier that the family come to a school for a pep rally. He felt guilty. He felt like he was the one who got us sick. He felt like he was the reason why his dad was gone, and we talked to him all the time and told him it wasn't your fault. The teenager, who'd struggled with depression throughout the pandemic, found it hard to process his illness and death. Before Mr. Reyes' death, the hospital allowed two family members to visit him at the hospital. My son wanted to see his dad, and against my better judgment, I let him go. It was the worst mistake I did, Ms. Reyes said. On December 28th, Ms. Reyes found that her son ended his life when she found his bedroom light on at 4 a.m. He was gone. I couldn't believe it. Ms. Reyes has two other children, both daughters, aged 15 and 18. All my kids, they lost their dad. I can't make that pain for them go away, she said. But my son, he was more worried about us than he was worried about himself. So, just a senseless, sad tragedy there. Alright, the last one, then we'll play a song. Suspected ISIL fighters kill 11 Iraqi soldiers in their sleep. Which is not a way to go. It's better than dying, gasping for air, I guess. Suspected ISIL gunmen have attacked an Iraqi army barracks in Diyala province, killing 11 soldiers as they slept, according to reports citing Iraqi security officials. The sources said the attack took place on early on Friday in the Al-Azim district, a mountainous area more than 120 kilometers north of the capital of Baghdad. And there was no immediate claim of responsibility, and the circumstances of the attack were not clear. But two officials who spoke to the Associated Press news agency said the ISIL fighters broke into the barracks at 3 a.m. local time, which is 0 GMT, and shot dead the soldiers before fleeing. The officials spoke on condition of anonymity because they weren't authorized to issue statements. So, last month, an ISIL attack on a village in northern Iraq killed at least 10 people, including 7 members of the Kurdish security forces known as the Peshmerga. In October 2021, ISIL fighters armed with machine guns raided a predominantly Shia village in Diyala province, killing 11 civilians and wounding others. So, this is tragedy nonetheless. But yeah, lots of death, lots of sad, senseless deaths. Alright, well, it's time to play a song, you know.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
It's a little heavy. So this song is called Gene is Dead from The Descendants.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, which is powered by SDF. And SDF, well, that's powered by you. So thank you so much for being here and listening, even though we're going through sad news to me. It's quite a sad news day today. But, you know, nobody makes it out alive. We all have to meet her in sometime. Hopefully it's peaceful and with your loved ones. All right. Or by yourself, whatever floats your boat, really. Let's just check real quick here. Oh. The headline, I just got a local alert that in the city of Austin, we're remaining in stage 5 COVID-19 precautions as hospitals become oversaturated. Austin public health officials say community spread of COVID-19 remains very high, forcing schools to close and long wait times for emergency care. Emergency departments across the Austin area are full, and at times taking in more patients than they have room for. Douglas Havron, executive director for the Capital Area of Texas Regional Advisory Council, said during a news conference on Friday. He said on Wednesday, 281 people were admitted into a hospital, but were waiting in hallways or emergency departments for beds to open up. 36 of those were ICU patients, Havron said. This is all part of our continued issue with hospital staffing and shortfalls within our healthcare system. Anyone who's seeking emergency medical care should be prepared for very long wait times. Hospitals are also dealing with the highest number of pediatric admissions, too. Said the Delta variant surge, 36 pediatric patients were admitted to hospital. Today, the number's 46. So, there's a lot more. But, yeah, just in general, know that states that have kind of just gotten over COVID haven't really gotten over it. They're just accepting that a bunch of people are going to die, but it's not worth their inconvenience. Thanks, politics. Let's keep on with
world news.
That's right. We're staying in the COVID zone. France's Constitutional Council approves controversial vaccine pass with conditions. France's Constitutional Council on Friday approved, with conditions, the country's new COVID-19 vaccine pass, which will require people aged 16 and above to show proof of vaccination to enter public places like bars, restaurants, and cinemas. The new pass is part of President Emmanuel Macron's drive to make life difficult enough for the small minority of unvaccinated people that they're compelled to get shots. The council's ruling paves the way for the vaccine pass to take effect on January 24th, replacing a health pass that showed proof of vaccination, a recent negative test, or past infection. The council upheld the government's wish that anyone over 16 be required to show a vaccine pass, as well as provision in the legislation allowing for bar and restaurant managers to check a person's identification alongside the pass to curb the use of fakes or certificates belonging to a third party. It overturned the requirement that vaccine passes be shown to attend political rallies coming less than 3 months before an election. Council said such a provision would impinge on people's freedom to share views and opinions. So, some people resisting the vaccine say they have been made to feel like second-class citizens, which is not a big surprise. France reported more than 425,000 coronavirus infections on Thursday, and hospitals say the large majority of COVID patients in intensive care are unvaccinated. So there we go. What else is going on? Well, let's talk about an evil corporation. Nestle withdraws Hindu Kit Kat range in India over accusations of disrespect. What do you mean? Well, Nestle's withdrawn a special range of Kit Kats in India, which feature images of sacred Hindu deities on the wrapper, after accusations of hurting religious sentiments. The limited range of the well-known chocolate bar had been launched as part of the global Kit Kat Travels Breaks range, where photos of artwork by local artisans were printed on the wrappers. But the Indian version of the range, which was designed to celebrate the crafts of the Indian state of Odisha, provoked an online backlash as they featured images of Hindu deities Lord Jagannath, Balbhadra, and Mata Subhadra. Many expressed outrage that the wrappers might end up in dustbins, drain gutters, or trodden underfoot, which would be disrespectful of the gods in the Hindu faith. Hindu nationalism's been on the rise there, and has been a heightened sensitivity toward the depiction of the Hindu faith in public sphere, and recent accusations of hurting religious sentiments have been leveled at books, films, TV shows, and advertisements. And I wanted to take a minute just to mention why Nestle is one of the most hated companies in the world. February 2021, ZME, that's Zulu Mike Echo Science.com, ZMEScience.com, had an article that I thought really kind of condensed it down into a nice, easy-to-use way. And I wish I could do this live, because then I could share the images that are in this, because I think they're really helpful. Short version. Child labor, unethical promotion, manipulating uneducated mothers, pollution, price-fixing, and mislabeling. Those are all things associated with Nestle. It's the world's largest foodstuffs company, and it has a history that would make even hardcore industrious shiver. We're going to look at why Nestle has such a bad reputation and whether or not it deserves it. So, Nestle is a huge company, right? It's a Swiss multinational food and beverage company, and they make baby food, bottled water, breakfast cereals, coffee and tea, confectionery, like sweets, dairy products, ice cream, frozen food, pet food, snacks. 29 of their brands have sales over $1 billion a year, and they have over 8,000 brands, 447 factories. So anyway, why are they hated? Well, first, in the 90s, they knew, I'll just paraphrase so that we don't take so long. In the 90s, Nestle heavily marketed their infant formula, their food formula, to developing nations or less economically developed countries, targeting the poor. And they said it was just as good as mother's milk, which isn't true and has a lot of ethical problems. But the big issue was that it required clean water, sanitized water, because you had to clean it, boil the water, before you mixed it with the formula and before you gave it to your baby. But often, the instructions on how to sanitize water or what you had to do weren't even in the local language. Lots of children got sick or died, and it was absolutely terrible. And So Nestle killed a bunch of kids by promoting baby formula. Then they make bottled water, but don't worry, they don't do that responsibly either. They have been operating in California, extracting water from their drought-stricken area out of the aquifers, and they said they would take as much as they could. They wish they could take more, and they haven't been licensed to do any work or to take any water out of aquifers for 18 months, and they just pay the state a $500 fee, and they can keep doing it. So, and then in Pakistan, they drained the aquifer so much, they sank the aquifer water level over 400 feet. So everyone's well is dry or pumps up dirty water, harming all the people there all around it. And then, of course, they also use child labor and forced labor in their chocolate factory or chocolate gathering and everything else. And pollution, lots of pollution. They pollute water and everything else. So anyway, Nestle's a terrible company, and if you can avoid it, don't buy anything from them. All right, in Kazakhstan, unrest. If you protest again, we'll kill you. The armed men in uniforms checked every ward, shouting that they were looking for people wounded in mass unrest that had left scores dead. Asel, who had been shot in the violence and was being treated in the hospital in Almaty, recalled the chilling encounter. One of them shouted, "If you go out to protest again, we will kill you." She believes the men with guns were from the special forces or security service and were rounding up anyone who'd taken part in anti-government protests. They tried to take Asel with them, but she was too badly wounded to walk. Her name has been changed to protect her identity. So yeah, not looking good. The authoritarian regime in Kazakhstan is going to put things back the way they want it to be. Well, we only got about a minute or so to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. It's been a great week this week, lots of news, and I'll be back on Monday. Here's just a few remaining headlines. We won't have time to go into the story. Russia and Iran have had meetings. Tehran's relationship with Moscow is expected to be bolstered following Iranian president's Moscow trip, regardless of the fate of the nuclear deal. The U.S. charges four Belarusian officials with aircraft piracy over flight diversion, the Ryanair flight diversion. Israel's war of attrition against Palestinian children. As the battle between the Palestinian Bedouin and Israel communities, children are being indiscriminately arrested. They busted down the door, and they arrested everybody in the house. 12-year-old Amar, they accused of attending a protest. Israel continued being Israel. Chevron and Total are big oil companies, and they've exited Myanmar due to human rights abuses. And Liberia is mourning stampede victims. 29 people, including 11 children and a pregnant woman, died in a stampede.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. At 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
All right, see you guys on Monday. Thanks so much. Bye. Dubious Goals Committee. Bear Dad. Oh.